Grant, O Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will find acceptance in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to confess to you that I am not a big fan of boats, or kayaks, or even canoes. Boating is by no means my favorite method of transportation. I love Steve Martin and John Candy in the movie from the 80s, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I probably wouldn't have liked it so well if the title had been Planes, Trains, and Boats. My discomfort with boats, I'm sure, goes back to when I was in elementary school and my father took me fishing with him out on the ocean far, far off the Jersey coast. As best I recall, we were in a skiff that seemingly was no longer than I was tall, battered by strong wind and stronger waves. I was literally scared for my life. And if we were in the vicinity of any fish who were hungry, they soon were no longer hungry because I spent a lot of the day feeding them. Matthew paints for us a biblical picture from the Sea of Galilee that may or may not have been all that different from my own one-time experience on the Atlantic Ocean. Jesus sent his disciples on a boat trip to the opposite side of the lake. Soon, we're told, the boat was buffeted by significant waves caused by a most significant wind. The disciples naturally were frightened, but then they became even more afraid when they saw what appeared to them as a ghost walking on the tempest-driven water. But Jesus shouted above the storm to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." And at this point in the narrative, we again encounter Peter. Peter is impetuous, adventurous, outspoken, and always appears to say whatever it is that he is thinking. Sometimes, frankly speaking, Peter gives me the impression of being not all that bright. "But Lord, if it is you," says Peter, "tell me to come to you on the water." Peter, of course, wanted to walk on the water like as did his master, the rabbi. I think Weldon would have shouted to Jesus, "I'm not going out there. You can come to me and do what you did a couple days ago and calm the storm." Then Peter stepped out of the boat. Stepping out of a boat, any boat, is a risky thing to do. That's perhaps why we as human beings and as Christians and as a parish, we're often unwilling to take that very great risk. More often than not, we are safe and content to be curled up in our own little selves, unwilling to take a chance on the world that is beyond us. There are storms in the sea of life that you and I have come to believe that we can't possibly deal with. We see waves that have the possibility to destroy both our sanity and our willingness to reach out to others. Waves that are threatening to drown us. For when the storms of our lives rage, we're most likely to focus on ourselves rather than on Jesus, the one who stands either on water or on firm ground right there in front of us. We want to live our lives in safety and security. We find comfort, of course we do, in the familiar and the known. Getting out of our boat means reaching out to those humans around us who need our love, our food, our companionship, and even perhaps our money. And frankly, it scares us. It discomforts us terribly. But as we continue to keep ourselves away from the disorder and distress that often is centered in meeting the needs of others, just as he did for Peter, Jesus reaches out and grabs us by the hand. Jesus can pull us out of our boat and assure us that he loves us and help us to take the risk of reaching out to do the works of outreach and ministry that we are reminded to do whenever we repeat our baptismal vows or when the Eucharist ends with these words, "Let us go in peace and love to serve the Lord." I'm overwhelmingly convinced that we as a church need to get out of the safety and the security of this, our own boat. Here at St. George, we are called to walk on the water, whether the water is smooth as glass or as rough as the pounding surf. I believe that we have been called by God in Christ to get out of the comfort of our own safe sanctuaries and find new ways to do God's work. Please understand that I am in no way complaining or criticizing what we do and the good things for Christ that we already are accomplishing here at St. George. There are many. For some of us, just coming into this building is finding a refuge in life's storm. For some of us, it is necessary to come into this building to worship, to give God worth. For some of us, we're blessed and motivated by attending and participating in the liturgy, the music, the homily, and the Eucharist. Most of us likely come into this building for valid, differing reasons whenever we enter these doors. Often we come to find consistency. We come to find a sanctuary, a place where we may and must feel safe and secure, all of which we need. But I would propose that St. George needs to be more than a safety net for us. If St. George has become for us only a safe and secure place, then, my brothers and sisters, we've got to get out of the boat. If we're content to only want new people to come here instead of to any of the dozens of other churches in and around the villages, because these folks who come can help us pay the mortgage, or sing in the choir, or become an usher, or serve at the altar, or take the sacrament to shut-ins, or help prepare food and do the dishes after a social event, then our motivations for outreach is all wrong. We need to explore and discover how we can effectively reach out to those who are outside our doors and seek to touch them and love them at the very point of their needs. Not for our sake. Not for St. George's sake, but for their sake. We can continue to compete with North Lake Presbyterian or New Covenant Methodist or First Baptist or Hope Lutheran to find new congregants competing for the same people as they do. Or we can, on the other hand, devise new strategies that can help us to reach out to unreached persons. We can find ways to make our approach to evangelism both different and better, and thus more successful. Blue Ocean Strategy is a book that was written back in 2005. It was the first in a series of books written by two authors, Magborg and Kim. These two suggest that almost everything we ever knew or assumed about competing in today's crowded marketplace is basically wrong. They believe that in the business world, and I would hold the church world as well, They believe that the business world is divided into red oceans and blue oceans. In red oceans, companies and churches try to outperform their rivals through competition, that is, to have the nicest sanctuary, or the best preacher, or an awesome choir. They fight like sharks for the same clientele, and their competition then may turn the ocean a bloody red. But then, says these two authors, there are blue oceans. Blue ocean companies and blue ocean churches that expand beyond existing boundaries by taking what they have to offer into whole new areas. They dream about and then create new ways to touch people in ways that their competitors do not. We've heard of Cirque du Soleil. Cirque du Soleil did just that. The Circus of the Sun originally was just another circus competing with the traditional Barnum and Bailey. But someone got the idea to put away the elephants and the big tent and to focus the show on continuous live music, theatrics, acrobats, and even a bit of opera. In the first decade after their change, the company went from one show to 19 shows in over 271 cities. Nobody had done that before. It was a blue ocean strategy. Home Depot was created not to be just another lumber yard. It was designed to be a home improvement store, a place where any homeowner could be schooled and trained in creating, fixing, and repairing his or her own home. No one had done that approach before. To me, the Fresh Market is an example of blue ocean thinking. It's not your ordinary grocery store. It's a specialty grocery store with an inventory of always high-quality food products, fresh premium perishables, and a diverse line of coffee beans. Quiznos Subs opened to reach a new market. Their menu was often expanded to reach more people, adding some new low-carb options and a selection of hearty subs using ingredients such as steak and Father John's favorite blue cheese. A blue ocean strategy that worked. And then there was a church in Ocala, Florida that decided to reach out to its neighbors, not only with the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation, but with earthly bread and soup, and with love and with acceptance. There was a Colorado congregation that turned an empty store into a commercial restaurant, which they came to call the Lighthouse Cafe. The cafe builds a bridge from the church to the community by establishing new relationships, by breaking down barriers and making it easier and more natural for people to come into their church building for worship and other events. To me, that's blue ocean thinking. And then there was a parish in Lancaster, California that was dying. As the church gathered together to discuss their future, a 92-year-old member stood up and challenged the church to become mission-minded. And it did. They created and sponsored mission trips to Southeast Asia, to Africa, and to southwestern China. Today, some 70% of that congregation has gone overseas, and the trips have revitalized the church at home. It's no longer there hard to get volunteers to serve because people have been trained and equipped and motivated by their mission experiences. A blue ocean family of faith. If you read a certain national magazine, you might have seen this advertisement. In a world of almost endless media noise and political spin, you wonder where you can find the real truth. Well, now there's a source that's accurate, clear, and reliable. It's the New International Version of the Bible. It's written in today's language for today's times, and it makes more sense than ever. Yes, it's a magazine ad for the Bible, but where did it appear? Not in the Christian century, not in Christianity today, not even in the living church. It appeared in the pages of Rolling Stones magazine, another Blue Ocean strategy. Blue Ocean church strategies in Florida, Colorado, California, and beyond. So how are we going to get St. George to climb out of the comfort of our boat and venture into the wind and blue waves that will certainly, most certainly, whip us around? How will we find our way to follow Jesus in faith, insisting him to keep our heads above water as we seek to really reach out, to touch, and to affect the lives of others? Our calling may or may not be found to found a kitchen to feed the hungry, the homeless, and the marginalized. Our calling may or may not be to create a lighthouse cafe. Our calling may or may not be to go on mission trips around the world. But I believe we in this place are being called to action. Our specific mission is out beyond these doors, and together we need to discover exactly what is the mission and the missions to which God is directly calling us. I challenge you to pray about what God is calling us to do in this place. And when you believe you know what that calling may be, tell the staff in the vestry and your neighbors so that all of us may pray about it too. And then when we choose to specifically reach out and walk on the blue ocean, we'll discover that Jesus is already out there ahead of us. He's walking on the water too. He's anxious to release us from the restrictions of our self-imposed safety rules and regulations and traditions. He's waiting to connect us with people who may never hear his story unless it comes to them through our words and our actions. All of this begins with our response to the invitation he gave out there on the water to Peter, the same invitation that he gives to us. He simply says, "Come." All of this will become real for us as we tap into God's power and trust Jesus to lead us into new ministries that exist and will exist across the deep blue sea. I truly believe it's time for us to think outside the box, to risk getting out of the boat. It's time for us to move from our safe red ocean to a blue one, trusting in the very power of God. Then we'll be individuals and a parish that truly walks with Jesus on water. In the name of our God, Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit. Amen.